right? Everything's in the earth. And then all of the spiritual goods that we need. If you're born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, all those goods are in you. All the spiritual stuff, all the, so you're set up. Yeah. Just come with me for a little bit. We're going to put the pieces together. So by faith, you would function in your authority by faith. We're still talking about faith. By faith, you would function with your authority and with the blessing. Now listen, both authority and blessing are a huge part of you getting your manifestation. You get that? Hope sees that you can have it. You can get it. That's what hope does. Faith says you got it. That's when you received it. Authority helps you keep it. Keeps the thief off. Okay. And the blessing is the power that goes to work that brings what you're faithing for into manifestation. Got it? All right. Do I need to repeat that? Everybody got it? Okay. So the blessing is working there with your faith. I just want you to get that part as well. Now, you're going to see how they play as we go on here. Ephesians 1:1. Let's go there. Ephesians 1:1. We're going to make basically one big point here, but I just want to make sure you get the point right. So Ephesians 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So, do you hear that? He has already empowered us with spiritual blessing in the Anointed One before the foundation of the world. He had already come up with it. He already made the plan. And he said that when you were born again and you came into Christ, you're in Christ, that everything you need is going to be in Christ. What does Christ mean? The Anointed One and his anointing. Okay. So, everything is there. Jesus said what? It is finished. He is all done. He is the I Am, church. Amen. So, you are now an eternal being. You're set up. So, all you really have to do then is use the tools to get God's will done. So the word says you're the heirs of the kingdom. That's who you are, heirs of God. You already have inherited the promises. You're like, yeah, we know, Pastor. Now, you might not really know. You got to get this in you. You are an heir. Let that drop down into your spirit. Because in your spirit is faith, hope, love, the fruits, the gifts, the blessing, and the authority. All in your spirit. All ready to go. All ready to work for you. I'm still a firm believer that some folks are just not even working from their spirit, though. They're still working from their soul. You can almost tell when someone just prays from their soul. It's just their thoughts. You can tell when someone's just, they're only in mental ascent, because you could just hear it. You could just tell it. So what we want, though, is we want for our spirit to be in charge. When your spirit's in charge, your soul and your body will obey. They'll do what they need to do. So we want spirit in ascendancy. Spirit is the most powerful part of you. The mind, will, and emotions, the soul, are very important to God. They're very important in your life. Your body is important to God. It's the only way you can stay here. That's a good thing. So, but the fact is that when the spirit is in charge, the other things work right. Now, when the blessing is in force and the authority has been taken, the spirit realm begins to move particles in the quantum realm. Hope that's not too much for you. Don't wobble on that. There's stuff going on that you can't see. But the forces in the spirit world, in that realm, will begin to move things. It'll move things in your body and heal you on the quantum level. Gosh, I don't know if I should go very far into that today. But they do. So, Lord, thank you for that. Do you want me to go any further with that? Thank you, Jesus. When the blessing is in force, this is happening. Now, I do want to just a little bit. So when things begin to move in the quantum because of your faith and the force, sometimes it's instantaneous. Come on. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the movement takes a while. Healing is not instantaneous. Miracles are. And you could say, I was instantly healed. That's okay. That's okay. That'll pass. But the truth is healing is healing. You know what I'm trying to tell you. When you get a boo-boo, it'll heal up. Have you noticed that? You didn't even pray and it healed up. Because there's a process that goes on there. But if you needed to pray, you did, and it helped it move further, right? But the time element involved between receiving by faith and seeing the manifestation can actually vary depending on what's going on. In some cases, it has to do with other people. When that happens, sometimes there's a time element of something getting to you, or, you know, I've heard story after story, and I've been listening to this all my life, and story of people knocking on the door and saying, Brother Hagin, or Brother Roberts had a story about that. A farmer came and said, I feel bad. I was supposed to give last night, and I didn't do it. Here's four $100 bills. Remember the story with Brother Roberts? He waves that in front of his darling wife, Evelyn, you know, because they were believing for a house and stuff. But the guy missed it. And so the time varied for that finance to get to him. But it got to him. You see my point? Okay, so things will get to moving. God will send forces. Your spirit will put out the law of draw. Your faith will begin to work. But sometimes you might not see it for 24 hours or 48 hours. Sometimes, depending on if you're in the will of God concerning the timing of God, it could be a little while. Okay. Now, so, but most of it, 90%, will have to do with your mouth. And the other 10% has to do with whether you drop down into doubt. It's the truth. If you drop down into doubt, then you're going to have to get back up into faith. Right? And your mouth will tell you if you're in doubt. Yeah, it will. Okay. But things are moving. Things are happening. And we're going to get into this because the Bible says that, we're not going to do it tonight, but Abraham obtained what he obtained by faith and patience. He stayed consistent. And we'll pick that up at another time. But if you stay with it, what you're believing for will manifest, okay? Now, Jesus, his body, which is us, and angels dominate Satan and his demons in the spirit world and in the natural world. We dominate that group. You need to believe that. It's not the big, bad, scary devil. Jesus has already provided. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered every demon. He conquered Satan. Satan has no power except to try to get into your thoughts. But he can't, he has no power. I say this to you all the time. I'm going to say it again. The only power he has is your mouth. Okay. But this is who we are. We have authority. So here again, here's a good example of how things work. And give me time to walk through this. Here's a good example of why I just said what I said, that we have authority like that. You have tithers' rights, right? If you're a tither, you do. If you're a giver, you've sown seed, so you have a harvest, right? Okay, it's yours. If you're an heir, then you have an inheritance, right? And you are. So you have healing, health, favor, prosperity. It's all already there and includes finances, and it includes those finances getting to you. Okay. Now, you remember, I want to repeat what I told you before, Brother Hagin's story. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin 8 times. And in one of the appearances, he told Brother Hagin, don't ask me for finances anymore on this particular subject. Brother Hagin was supposed to be getting payments. And they weren't coming. I think it was his paycheck. I'll go back and check and tell you that. But Jesus said, don't ask me for it. Rebuke the devil off of it. The devil has to let your finances go. Now, so I said all of what I just said to come to right here to make you know that when you're using your faith, it's not always God, won't you, will you please. It's simply Satan, take your hands off what is mine. That's part of faith, okay? You believe you receive things, but you also know that you have this authority when you know you have something and you command the enemy to let it go. Now, if you need proof of that, you go read James 5. The wages were calling out for the one who owned them, but they were in the hands of rich people who weren't doing right. It was a bad regime. Okay. But the wages wanted to go where they belonged. In the quantum world, come on, they wanted to get there. So what had to happen, it said that they're crying out, so we had to do something. We had to speak to the Lord of the Sabaoth. So now here comes another picture. Angels. Sabaoth means Lord of Hosts. So what we have coming in here is we have to use our faith with angels. So we're using the blessing, the authority, the way we know how to believe we receive, and we're also using angelic forces, and they're commanded to go and do what they need to do. Is it filling in the spaces? These are all the ways we use our faith. Okay? Are y'all here? Y'all are not calves at New Gate, so come on. Now, when you're faithing in something, the enemy is not just going to sit there. He's self-employed, and he doesn't want you to have it because he hates you and he hates God. You took his place. He doesn't like it. But the thing he's the most threatened by is the word. Yes. All right, now. Everything that we just said is authority in action. Okay? There are things that we need to know about healing. If something in your body is bent, broke, stretched, torn, those kinds of things, you get a boo-boo. Is that what they call it? Boo-boo? Those things do need what we call healing. Listen, some diseases have a spirit life behind them. This is where this authority comes in when you're using your faith and you're praying someone or for yourself. There are certain diseases that the person doesn't need healing. They need to be relieved of the spirit life behind them. Cancer has a spirit life. Yeah. Diabetes has a spirit life behind it. You could get well. There are certain other things that have spirit life behind them. So what do you do with your faith? You use your authority and tell it to go. Right? You just said, no, Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me. You need more than that. You need to get rid of something. And so by this power that you have, you're able to use that authority by faith because you and Jesus are bigger than Satan and his people, his monkeys, his little lizards, whatever they are. Worms, that's a good one. worms. Let's go real small. They're creeps. And we have authority over creeps. It said so in the Word. So I'm not trying to get technical with you about faith, but I'm trying to show you the different ways you would use your faith. You use your authority. The blessing is part of it. I believe I receive is part of it. Telling something to go, but with that authority, that's all part of it. All these things are a package deal. All right, y'all have that. Amen. Now, yeah, thank you, Lord. You're hearing me, right? So everything is already yours. Some things need to be turned loose. Some things need to be created. Now, don't throw up a flag there. I'll say something to you. Some things need to be reaped from the Spirit. But they all have to be believed and spoken. Yes. That's what faith is. You're always going to come back to that. Well, you know, you said it was all already done, and now you said it has to be created. So which one is it? Okay, now hear me on this. Church, the windows of heaven are open, but you have a window. Is your window open? You would be the block. You would be the one. Are you going to let heaven through or not? See? So it's not, and it's going to be about your mouth and your heart. So it's not heaven trying to stop it. It would be not getting through you. Amen. So remember I told you the other day that I called it first creation and second creation, meaning God had already created it. We'll call that zero. I saw it. I imagined it with my hope. I found out I can have it. That's first creation, right? Then you believe you receive it, and then it manifests. When it manifests, that's second creation. So actually, everything that was created has to get into you in creation form, and then it will manifest. But it has to be a spiritual thing, church. It can't just be a mental thing. Well, they said over at that church, I can have this, 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 and this, and this, and so I'm gonna get it. Well, see, that's not the way it works. It's you getting the revelation of how it works. And then you use it all the time. Is this too technical? Okay, because I feel like you could handle all this. Now, let's get this straight in our minds here. Did Jesus have needs? Yes. Good class. He needed a donkey. And he got it. He needed a boat. And they loaned it to him. He needed some tax money. And a fish threw it up. You need some tax money? Okay. We can get it right now. We can get the tax money right now. We can get it. Okay. So, Jesus was confident. Why? Because it had already been done. He knew it was already there. And then he was going to end up, because he's the I Am. He has already been to the future. And so he knows he's going to go to the cross. He knows he's going to beat Satan. He's already been there. He knows he's already made the sacrifice. He knows he's already paid everything. And he knows now that everything's already been made available. Amen. So he could easily say, fish, donkey. And he knew Father would provide. Everything is there to make the provision. You just have to get it. It's there. God has already made provision for our salvation. From poverty, lack, and want, just as he's already made provision for our salvation from sin and death. It's the same thing. He's already made all that provision. People are like, well, I got saved, but you know, my life is just miserable and I don't have what I need. Well, it doesn't have to be, because you need to take the whole package. A package comes with this. You get it all, right? Point. You don't have to talk God into meeting your needs. You don't have to talk God into meeting your needs. Matthew 6 teaches us that. He wants to meet your needs. You have to get above that. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. It says, and his righteousness. I could do a whole teaching on that. That word righteousness actually has to do with giving. It's the word tzedakah, and it has to do with giving. Now, but we won't go there tonight. So, now hear me now, because I think this will help you big. Sometimes I say this. I say this a lot when we're praying. We're going to win. And inevitably, someone will say, we've already won. They just have to pop back at me, you know, make sure they get my confession right. Praise the Lord. But I mean it when I say it. We're going to win because we've already won. I can say both of those, one concerning a situation that's coming, knowing that I've already won. That's what Jesus did when he got his stuff. There was something coming that already paid for it. In fact, that's what happened to Abraham and Noah and David. They acted like saved people.
Come on.
Yeah. Right? They knew something was coming.
That's right.
So, Brother Kenneth told Brother Jerry, he said, God has done everything he's ever going to do about your needs. And Brother Jerry said, he's not going to leave me in this mess, is he? Okay. But that's not what Brother Copeland was saying to Brother Savelle. He wasn't saying that God wasn't going to do anything about the situation. What he meant was that God had already done everything necessary to make that thing happen. So when I'm saying we're going to win, when we're going to win in November, and you say, we've already won. Well, you could, that's fine. Go ahead and say it. But the truth is we're going to win because we have already won, or whatever it is in your life. You're going to live and not die.
Yes.
Whatever it is. He's the I am, church. So everything's been provided so that you could have it and everything can go and be taken care of.
Yes.
Does that help you? So you don't have to never again say, we're going to have something. Now, if you say God is going to heal me, that's a different situation because that's hope. You want to go ahead and get into the place where God has healed you. But when we're talking about situations, you know, and you're going to go, they're checking to see if you can get your new car. Let's just do that because that's always easy. You can say, I'm going to win. When we moved into the house up in, we were working for Victor Christian Center of Austin. We lived on a house there and 50 people were chasing the real estate people around trying to give them money. And we wanted to live there. We're from the country, so we didn't really want to live in Austin, but this had 33 acres, I think. It was the Goodnight Ranch. Imagine that, living on the Goodnight Ranch. What great history. But anyway, we found favor with those two people and people were sticking money in their pockets and they just kept wanting to talk to us. And so they called us the next day and said, can y'all come up here? So we go up there and the head, this big guy in the company walked out and he said, you won the lottery. Well, I had been saying, no, I don't play the lottery. I didn't play the lottery then. I don't believe in playing the lottery because God doesn't like losing. Okay. So, I mean, it's your business, whatever you do. I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm just saying it's not on my radar. But I, for some reason, have felt in my spirit that I should say, I'm going to win the lottery. And I just like I said, I'm going to hit a home run. I kept saying, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to win. I had already won, but in this situation, God had me saying I was going to win. Why? Because I had already won. And so when we got there, he repeated those words. Now, let's talk about authority here. When we drove up to that property, it was so cool. It's 3,500 square feet. It had a beautiful swimming pool. I think, John, did y'all come over there, Rachel, ever?
Oh,
So I had this beautiful pool, you know, it was just really nice. Lots of good places to pray. And so when we left there, we got in the car, a circle drive and stuff, turned around and said, in the name of Jesus, we claim this place as our own for the time we need to live here. Okay. There's the authority. They called us back. We got the place. We used the place. We worked there until we got our new assignment, which was with Pastor John. We moved back to, I won't say back to Texas, but we were in Texas. We moved back to the good part of life, Hayes County, you know. And actually, it might have been Caldwell County. But we moved back, and we would drive back and forth by that place, and Lowe's built up there, and everybody built around them, but the place was totally just abandoned. We stopped in there, and there was a homeless people in there, so we ministered to them. I know the person's name was Kelly. I remember that. And so we ministered to them, the people, you know, it was just kind of falling into shambles and everything. And so we're like, gosh, what's up with this place? And so we'd leave, and then we'd come back by again, and then one day the Lord said to me, hey, you gonna let that house go? I said, well, sure enough. That power of that authority had kept that place. We said that day, in the name of Jesus, we release that back into where it needs to go. Next time we drove by there, they were bulldozing the house down and put up condominiums. Do you have some power? You do. You have some power. This is a part of your faith package. It's a part of your faith package. The blessing is a part of your faith package. It's working when you put it to work. Amen. Amen. All right, let's just finish up here. So Jesus doesn't have to hang around and go to the cross every time you need something. That's one of my points. He's already done it all. So you just receive what you need to receive by faith. But one of the points I want you to understand here is that God is not need-minded. Okay? Y'all sleeping? Y'all here?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's not going to talk to you for a long time about your needs.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No. You need to come on and know that your needs are met. If you're serving the kingdom of God, if you're looking to God for that, your needs are met. You have to have some faith about it. Christians out on the street that aren't going to church or doing anything, their needs are met, but they're not tapping into them. Okay? People sit in church all day long and their needs aren't met because they're too need-minded. But God is not need-minded, so he's not going to talk to you about that for a long time. It's going to be all about the approach, church. He said, seek the kingdom, so seek the kingdom. Now, listen, he'll answer when you're asking. There's nothing wrong with asking. There's a place to ask. There's a place to declare. There's a place to decree. There's a place to use your authority. There's a place to ask God. And you're going to arrive one day in this place where you know everything is yours, and all you have to do is say, Lord, is it time for that now? I'm going to tell you right now, I have every car I'll ever need. I don't think about that. Will I be able to get my next car? Do you?
No.
Do you wonder where you're going to get your next shoes? You don't wonder about that. Do you wonder, where am I going to get some food? You're not wondering about that. But you might be wondering where you're going to get your rent. You might be wondering how you're going to pay your insurance. You might be wondering how you're going to pay your taxes. Yet when you get up there a little higher, you might be wondering about it. But guess what? It's all covered too. But you're going to get into this place where you're only asking God about timing. Am I right? It's just going to be about timing. You want me to do this? You want me to receive that? You want the Lord. This last car I got, the Lord came in on me and said, get a new car. And I'm like, what? I like this one. Get a new car. I kind of delayed. He said, get a new car. I'm like, okay. So I finally want to go start looking at it. And we took the old car, which wasn't a very old car. It was a good car. And Alan, he's my guy at Lexus, he came out and said, that car's got a leak. And I said, thank you, Lord. He said, you ought to turn that car in today. It was great. They didn't care. They, you know, I go see them for every new car. You know, it's gonna be there. And so, that was God. You need to go get a new car because we're not going to have you dealing with trying to fix a car or getting stuck somewhere. Go get a new car. So anyway, they made us a deal and I have another new car now. Okay. So, he's going to answer you, and it's okay, but he's not going to answer begging. He's going to answer faith. He's not going to answer, let's make a deal. Oh, God, if you will, I promise I'll. He didn't want all that. It's already all been done. He gave you the free gift of Jesus. The Bible says over in Romans 8 that he'll give you all things with him. People have this all wrong. They're just trying to get God to do something when he's already done it. He's already done it. He's already made it good. That means the fault lies with you. I have to face up to that. When I don't get it, it's my fault. I said, I want a new garage because I feel like we have too many things to put in the garage. I was like, yeah, I want a new garage. I'm gonna get a new garage. I'm gonna get a garage. And today the Lord said to me, you're not gonna get that new garage till you figure out where you want it and what it looks like. Put some action to your faith. I was like, okay. You have to put some action to your faith. I know I'm giving y'all a shotgun tonight, but you could take it. You're big. Praise the Lord. He answers faith. And he doesn't want to spend a lot of time on your needs. The point I'm trying to make is that God is not need conscious. He's seed conscious. Okay? When God had needs of his own, he fulfilled those needs by giving his seed. He needed the redemption of mankind. He needed a family. So what did he do? He planted his best seed, Jesus. He gave us Jesus. He planted a seed and he got many sons. Here we are. God is not need-minded. He's seed-minded. That's why he wants the seed of the word going in you to produce a harvest. That's why he wants you seeding into the kingdom so the kingdom can turn around and produce financial harvest for you. This is really easy, but people get it all mixed up. Well, the churches just want money. No, God wants you connected to finances. Yeah, amen. I know some churches have it wrong. I'm just going to tell you, we don't. We're not begging you for anything. We want something to come to you. We want you to be blessed. So we're going to tell you that tithing and sowing seed and giving to the poor are the ways that you will be blessed. You get seed-minded. Church, a seed will meet any need. It'll meet any need. It'll produce any kind of harvest that you name it. You're like, you mean you believe in that naming those seeds? You named your dollar when you went to Walmart. You said, this is milk. This is cereal. This is butter. I know y'all don't eat margarine. That's plastic. Don't be eating that stuff. Somebody said, mind your own business. Just giving you important information. Butter is better. But it's everything that we have has already been paid for, church. It's already been paid for. You just have to go up to it and get it. God wants you to have it. It's yours. It's yours. Well, you know, Pastor, that's good, but I think it'd just be bad for some people to have a lot of money Well, first of all, your opinion has no authority. Opinions have no authority. We all know what they're like. Lizzie, that was delayed. But the truth is that you, as you become responsible for the kingdom and the kingdom finances, you're going to get blessed more and more and more. You're just going to be a pipeline. That's what our life is all about, is about being a pipeline. It's not just about me getting a bunch of stuff. The more stuff you get, the more you have to take care of. Get over that. But the truth is if there's things you enjoy, God will give them to you. Now, I'm closing, but I'll remind you of this. Brother Jerry, who we are blessed to be connected with. Brother Jerry loved motorcycles. Brother Jerry gave away all of his motorcycles just to prove to God that they didn't come before him. That's the kind of prosperous person you want to be. That God is first. He's first in your giving. He's first in you don't really go to work to make a living when you're in the kingdom of God. You go to work to make your giving, and then your giving makes your living. Y'all get that? So Brother Jerry gave away all of his motorcycles. What happens? Brother Jerry, I got a motorcycle for you. Brother Jerry, I got a... His whole place fills back up with motorcycles. Why? Because he gave them all away. Remember when he gave away the suit? And then all of a sudden someone ships all these suits to Brother Jerry. Just multiplies. Everything would just multiply for him. He has a garage bigger than our church. Are probably about as big. I don't know how many square feet it is. It's filled with all the things he liked. But he didn't love them more than he loved God. God gave him everything he wanted just because he loved him. But as you know, he was doing God's business every day of his life before he transitioned. Every day. So God loves you like that. You can have your boat, your car, your vacation, whatever it is you want. Just put the kingdom first. You can be healed. Put the kingdom first. You'll be healed. Use your authority. Use the blessing in your life. Use your faith. Believe you receive. And keep that mouth shut. I'm not being rude. I'm telling you, I hear some of y'all talking before church, and I'm saying, my Lord. That stuff, no wonder people don't have what they want. No offense, but I've heard it. I'm like, well, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, come on, people. We got to get this. Be blessed to be a blessing. Start saying what you want. Not what you have. Say what you want. I'm lying. No, you're not lying. You're calling things that are not as though they were. That's what Abraham did. Well, does it look dumb sometimes? Yes. But we do it, right? I'm thinking of the person who came out all beat up out of fighting with someone and said, I'm winning. In their mind, in their spirit, in their flesh, in their spirit, in their faith, get it out here, they're winning. Yes. I'm going to tell you, you're winning. Amen. We're winning. Yes. It doesn't look like it, but America is winning. Yes. America is winning. God's kingdom is winning. Yes. Why? We've already won. We've already won, but we're winning. We're going to win the races ahead of us. We're going to be able to do it. We're going to be able to stay fit. We're going to be able to run the race. We're going to be able to see things we've never seen before. We have the glory realm all around us. We're about to experience times when there won't even be any preaching. There'll just be glory. They're all healing will manifest. Right before our very eyes, people saved, healed, delivered. And you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to people really getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not people trying to teach people how to speak in tongues. That's not getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Getting baptized in the Holy Spirit is when you yield to the Spirit of God and He comes on you with such an anointing and force that those tongues come rising up out of you. That's how I got it. It's not, hold on, tarry, wait a minute, let go. Try to say this, repeat this after me, yabba dabba do. That's not it. We're going to the right place. That's where my faith is. That's what I'm looking for the most, is the glory. Amen. Y'all receive this tonight? Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that a seed will meet any need, and we're about to receive the offering. I thank you, Lord, for it. I bless you. And I thank you, Lord, that we can use our faith. We can use our authority in faith. We can have faith that the blessing is working. We have faith that it will be done because it's already been done. We have faith in the Word of God. We trust in you, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So listen, before you were born, maybe some of y'all will get this, but there was this thing called S&H green stamps. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I lived in San Antonio and we had Texas gold stamps from H-E-B. Okay, so what you did was, when you got your groceries, this thing spit out all these stamps. You got your little book. How many of y'all did that? Do you remember? Okay. And so you put them all in there, and then you go to the S&H store, and you take those seeds, and you give them to them, and they give you something greater for those stamps. You can get a lamp or a table or a appliance or whatever you wanted there, see? A jewelry box, see. That's how the kingdom works. You've got your stamp. You can go get what you want. Here's my faith. Here's my authority. Here's this. I have it. Give it to me. It's open. Amen. It's real easy. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the tither and the giver tonight. We thank you for blessing them tonight. We thank you, Lord, that by faith they receive everything they need. Whatever's been in question over the years, whatever they have lacked over the years, we say, spirit of lack, get off of God's people in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that every person that belongs to this church moves forward financially, signs, wonders, miracles in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you bless us coming in and going out. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing for us in every way in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. While they're coming, if you'd like to give me a text message to VCHL and the amount you want to give, you can give to 7-click. You can type in 73256, click the link and complete your gift. I've been talking way too long and way too fast, but you can do that and we'll receive your gift in Jesus' name. That's the easiest way to do it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, two blessings to tell you about. You ready? Yes. This is going to make you really happy. Number one, church is getting a brand new roof. Yes. We want to thank God for Church Mutual. They have been, boy, they were so fast. They were here 3 days ago, and they're already cutting a check. So glory to God. We're going to hire some roofers. We're going to get a new roof, and it's time. The second thing, and is much more important, Miss Kathy has rallied. When Miss Kathy went in, they said she was doing okay. But then the bad report came, and they were sending her to heaven, basically. And Deb and Art and Amanda and John East went over, laid hands on her, prayed for her. And the doctor said today that it was a miracle. She couldn't breathe. Her heart was beating 10%. There was no pulse in one of her legs. And now she has all of it. She has all of it. Now, Miss Kathy's healed, and she got on the phone with us yesterday, and she had that thing down her throat. What do you call that? Intubate. Yeah. She had that down her throat. So they got it out, and she gets on the phone with Malia. That's her precious daughter. Y'all all know her. She always sits back there. And she says, Pastor Rocks, I love you. Pastor Deb, I love you. Pray me back. So we have been. And this is what I'm doing to the blood clots.
Right.
You're out.
Right.
You're out in Jesus' name. Heart beat with the rhythm of life. 98% oxygen level. Come on, let's have it. Let's get it. Everything functioned normally. And she's responding. That's a woman of faith there. Now, the greatest sign that she received her healing was this. She had a doctor come in, and she looked up at him and said, "Ooh, you're cute." That's Miss Kathy. That's Miss Kathy right there. So we're so grateful that God has healed her. She'll be back in here. What a precious soul. She's been with us for years and years and years. She was our second children's pastor. And she held that position for a long, long time. In fact, she turned it over to Amanda when Amanda came 10 years ago. So she loves kids. I went through all my pictures of her. Picture after picture after picture, a puppet show. We did a lot of plays back then, all kinds of stuff. She was always involved. Children's Day, remember that? She's such a jewel, and she's loved by many people. I'm so glad she's okay. So keep her in your prayers, because she's going to come full force. Amen. All the way back. Praise the Lord. All right. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Let's stand up. We're good? I know I gave you a lot. I was a fire hose tonight, but there's so much to do. You've just got to pick all this up. Just absorb it. You'll get it. These are all the components to how you need to live your life. The just shall live by faith. So we're going to do all the components. We have to do it. Watch your mouth. Say what you want, not what you have. Speak to the mountain, not about it. How are you? Say what Gladys says. I am blessed and walking in the healing that God has given me. She always says something like that. I'm blessed and I'm walking in the healing that God has given me. Amen. That's who we are. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Bye-bye.